JM and the AM with Shlomo Katz, Ufros Aleinu is the name of that one. The terror attack that took place in Yerushalayim this morning, the coordinated detonating, the coordinated bombs that were detonated, the bombs that were coordinated to detonate within seconds of each other, let's put it that way. And unfortunately, as we've already heard, a 16-year-old who was on his way to yeshiva was murdered in that terror attack. Canadian resident, which always makes things hit closer to home when there's some reference to someone being from this side of the world. You know how that works. Then, of course, we heard about Naomi Pilichowski. We are friendly, as so many in this audience are, with Aliza and Uri, her parents. And thank God Naomi lightly injured and doing fine, as I described earlier when I was in touch with her parents. And then we discovered, in yet another angle to all of this that hits so close to home for us, that Yossi Baumol, who we of course know for so many years and decades already and has been a guest of ours a million times, his brother was a victim and is injured right now from the terror attack that occurred in Yerushalayim this morning. And Yossi is with us live via telephone from Israel. Yossi, first and foremost, tell us how your brother is doing.
Hey, he's in good spirits. He was joking with Bibi when he came by to visit him. He has various fragments in his back. He's got a broken rib and a broken shoulder, but there's no internal bleeding, and it looks like he'll be okay. He's in the ICU for supervision, and they're at the moment operating and taking out a screw from his thumb.
Wow.
There's a bomb that's filled with screws, and in his briefcase, there's a whole bunch of screws also.
Just for reference, is an older brother or younger brother?
This is a younger brother. This is a younger brother.
Who's living in Israel as long as you, or?
No, but a few decades already. He's a well-known Rav. He's learns Torah. Somebody told me that the biggest gedolim are the ones who learn in the house, but he's he learns all over the place. Baruch Hashem, he's sitting and learning. He's Rabbi Nissim Wolpin's son-in-law.
Oh, wow.
He's got 11 kids here, and son-in-laws and daughter-in-laws, and Baruch Hashem, everybody's worried, you know, taking care of him.
And he lives in what neighborhood?
He lives in Givat Shaul, and he went down to get a ride. He had a day off from Yeshiva today, and he was going to Miron to daven there. And he was standing at the bus stop when the explosion took place. He was right next to the kid who was killed. He doesn't know yet that the kid died. The blast actually lifted him up and blew him away like a few feet.
We had heard about people who were thrown in the air, and obviously he's one of them. Yossi Baumol's with us. Your brother's name, for those who want to include him in our prayers?
Harav Chaim Nochum Ben Feger Rivka.
The indication, I mean, or I should say the conclusion, I mean, not that this is any surprise, but if in fact his back is filled with the remnants of the nails and bolts, and you mentioned in terms of his thumb and his briefcase, and we saw the bus riddled with nails, etc. I mean, I know that this is not a revelation for anybody. We've discussed this a million times, but it just, you know, for those of us who value life and for those of us who would never consider harming anybody else, it is unbelievable watching how the enemy tries to maximize the injuries, how they try to kill and maim us, how Jewish blood, both in Israel and now again, you know, throughout the world, is being sought after and where it doesn't seem to be safe anywhere. And Yossi, just your comment, because I said earlier that there's a certain, again, for those of us of a certain age who remember what it was like, you know, for us hearing the reports, for you living through it, you know, 10, 20 years ago, the terror attacks, the regular bus bombings, the shootings, etc. Number one, they have not come to an end. And number two, people should not be lulled into a sense of security that all of a sudden the enemy has completely, you know, calmed down from their desire to kill Jews.
Yeah, well, I try to explain this to people. I'm not sure many people understand this, but basically, Arafat already laid out the strategy many years ago. When there's a right-wing government, you attack them in the UN and the Hague. If there's a left-wing government, then you kill Jews. And it has nothing to do with how good the government deals with the terror, but they know that we're vulnerable. When there's a right-wing government, we're vulnerable politically, and when there's a left-wing government, we're only vulnerable to terror. And there's a way out of this vicious cycle. The way is for there to be a right-wing government that does not give it to world pressure and does what it has to do to take care of the terror. And so far, we haven't had such a government. We may have one soon, but they really, really need to understand this, that they can't give in to political pressure, and they have to. And I, as my friend Norm Arnone has written many times, every time there is a terror attack, they need to lose land.
Yeah,
that will stop them.
Build a town every time they attack a Jew. Simple as that. Yossi Baumol's with us, his brother among the injured in today's terror attack. We always have a certain impression of government officials, some would say politicians, when it comes to events like this. I don't know if you've had a chance to speak to your brother. You said he was in some ways joking around with Bibi. Is there a cynicism? I mean, when you see, and now it obviously comes, you know, it hits so close to home. It's your own brother who's being visited by the future prime minister. Is there a cynicism? Is it hard to believe that there's 100% sincerity behind an act like that?
Look, we all understand that these things are done for the pictures and for the PR. Nevertheless, Bibi was very, very human, very nice to him. And it felt sincere. That's all I could say. And I asked my brother afterwards if he felt used or not. And he said, no. He said, what can I tell you? As soon as this happened this morning, the BB spokesman started saying about how it's the other party should give in the coalition talks and set up a government already. And then they've answered back, and they're really, you know, I'd rather have 5 years of security and let them work out this government properly than rush to finish it off before everything's in place. So I really, really am hoping that this new government will do something about it. And no matter how long it takes to set it up, I have patience.
Right, but you did think a week ago that it would take less time than it is taking, right? Or not necessarily?
Not for a second.
No?
No. I assumed it would take at least till the last second of the first segment.
Because of those he's negotiating with or because of him?
Because it's, I've always loved Bezalel Smotrich, even though I didn't like the way he acted during the last year and a half against Ben. I think it was a little too tough. But politicians make decisions, and it was their decision that this government had to go as quickly as possible, and that's why they acted not nicely. So, you know, it's the job of politicians is to make sure that the people who sent them to office get what they voted for, and that's what I think what he's doing. So, you know, we have patience. I have patience, at least, and I'll wait. And he's a good bargainer at Bezalel Smotrich, and they'll bargain to the last second, as will Aguda, as will Derry, as will Netanyahu. It's, you know, I'm not blaming any specifics, but I understand Netanyahu's problem, that everybody's taking a piece of the action, and he's not leaving anything for the Likud, and then therefore he'll have trouble. I understand that they'll work it out eventually, but it usually goes down to the wire, and it'll go down to the wire this time.
So you do think that the government will be a majority 61-plus seats in the end?
Yeah, I'm pretty sure.
Not going to be one of these, I forgot what they call it, a minority government, or I forgot what they call it when you're
basically... No, there won't be a minority government. I just hope that Mr. Netanyahu understands that this is one of his last chances to have a legacy, and that he doesn't go to the left like he did almost every other time in the past. Let's hope that doesn't happen this time.
You found out about your brother through the news media or through a family member?
My sister called me. You have to understand, in the ultra-Orthodox world, they don't use text messages, so... My sister got a phone call and she called me. So that's how I found out.
And is there any?
And I happen to be in Yerushalayim. Every Wednesday I learn with my chavrus Mordechai Machlis in Yerushalayim. So I was here and I was able to go over to the hospital.
Wow. A lot of people jealous that you got to spend one visit a week with him.
Well, we went to high school together, and we were thrown out of Rav Belsky's class together for being Zionists. So wow. We can go back a long way.
Amazing, amazing. Any prognosis? I know it's really, really early, but did the doctors say that he'll be there days, or this is going to be a long ordeal? Anybody know?
It's going to be a couple of days, but not too long. Hopefully nothing, you know, they're keeping him under supervision in the ICU, so hopefully nothing else will go wrong, and he should get out in a couple of days.
Well, Yossi, I don't have to explain this to you.
I heard him already giving instructions, you know, tell the people from my Thursday night cheer that I'm not going to be there. You think I'm going to be the Friday, and we'll get out, and never, so...
Amazing. I'll tell you, the resilience, just amazing. Well, look, you know what it's like. These episodes are horrific, and obviously the collective Jewish pain around the world just increases. But when something hits close to home, because it's somebody you know or a relative of somebody you know, and in this case, obviously, we've had a couple of those with this episode. A refuah shlema to your brother. And
thank you very much. I want to leave you with one last thought.
Sure.
There's a tefillah of the Arizal that if we serve Hashem b'simcha, we won't have to serve Him in pain. If we can save us, if we serve, use our emotions positively to serve Hashem, we won't have to use them negatively.
Boy.
But, you know, there's always atheists in the foxhole. That's how it is.
No question.
Anyway,
no question.
To vote, and we should only hear good news.
I was just going to add that sometimes it takes a lifetime to learn that lesson, but you're 100% right.
Yeah.
Tada rabba, refuah shlema.
We talk only on good occasions.
Amen. Tada rabba. There he is, Yossi Baumol, who, of course, has been a guest of ours, God knows how many times, very close friend of JM and the AM and the Nachum Segal Network. He's in Israel, and his brother is one of the victims, one of those injured in the terror attack. As you heard, the boy who was killed was literally right next to him in this morning's attack. More coming up. It is a Wednesday morning edition of JM and the AM.